This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, April 20th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have a talk with George Takei. You know him as Sulu from Star Trek. He has a book out about his coming out late in life and his growing up in a Japanese internment camp during World War II. We'll also get a weekend forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. The carillon at Altgeld Hall will ring one time for each victim of the Virginia Tech massacre late this morning. Governor Rod Blagojevich has called for a moment of silence at 11 o'clock in memory of the victims. Locally, the University of Illinois Student Senate has been asking people to wear maroon and orange, Virginia Tech's colors. Ameren and Commonwealth Edison may have gone as far as they're willing to go to offer relief to consumers. The state senator who's led negotiations with the company says he believes those negotiations have reached the limit. Democrat James Claiborne of East St. Louis refused to offer details about the relief package that's on the table, but he says it addresses the foremost issue and would give people the level of comfort they need.
I put it like this. What the utilities have offered will significantly make an impact, I think, on those individuals who have experienced the largest hikes or spikes in their utility bill, and that's the all-electric.
Claiborne says those all-electric customers would, under the agreement, end up paying the same rates as everyone else. They had previously gotten a discount because they used electric heat in their homes. However, even those who saw less dramatic spikes in their power rates this year have also complained that prices are too high. And Claiborne says he believes some lawmakers want a larger relief package. Claiborne says he believes the state Senate will instead vote on a plan to roll back the rates. It's unclear if or when that time will come. The Illinois House and the governor are both on record in support of freezing rates at last year's levels. Ameren and ComEd contend that would spur disaster for the utilities. Higher gas prices don't only impact motorists, they're also proving costly for the state's Department of Transportation. Sean Crawford reports.
When the cost at the pump goes up, motorists tend to buy less gas. Since Illinois' road construction program gets a lot of its money from a flat-rate motor fuel tax, fewer dollars are available to build roads and bridges. Acting Transportation Secretary Milton Cease says the latest road plan reflects that trend, with a smaller increase in the amount that will be spent on construction.
Because of the higher gas prices and the public reaction to going to more fuel-efficient automobiles, to hybrids, to driving less, you've seen increased usage on mass transit in the Chicago area.
Cease says fewer cars on the highway don't necessarily mean less wear and tear on roads. He says heavy truck traffic continues despite higher gas prices, and that can cause more deterioration. The department is calling for repairing more than 4,000 miles of roads and nearly 1,000 bridges in the multi-year program. Cease also urged the General Assembly to approve Governor Rod Blagojevich's gross receipts tax plan that would provide some additional money for road work. I'm Sean Crawford.
The daughter of a state senator from Terre Haute has died in a car crash in eastern Indiana. Police in Delaware County say 29-year-old Shanna Branch was killed yesterday morning when her car was rear-ended by a semi-truck on I-69. She was the daughter of Democratic State Senator Tim Skinner from Terre Haute. The head of Amnesty International in America says the U.S. government's treatment of terror suspects is not only a violation of human rights but counterproductive in the war on terror. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports on Larry Cox's appearance on the U of I campus last night.
Amnesty International has criticized U.S. practices in the past, such as the use of the death penalty. But Larry Cox says he never expected to see the U.S. detain suspects indefinitely without charges or make arguments in defense of the use of torture. Cox, who heads Amnesty International USA, says other countries are guilty of worse violations, but that America's defense of its practices amounts to an attack on the very concept of human rights.
When the world's superpower, when the world's greatest democracy, openly defends its own gross violation of human rights, it sends a powerful message to dictators and killers around the world. It actively helps them to justify what is unjustifiable.
Cox told an audience of about 100 at the U of I Urbana-Champaign campus that he thinks public opinion is turning against such practices. He hopes Americans will pressure Congress and the 2008 presidential candidates to do the same. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The director of the Mahomet Public Library says they may have little choice but to come back with a tax referendum to fund construction of a new library building. Nearly 53% of voters in Mahomet said no to a library tax hike in Tuesday's election. But Director Lynn Schmidt says the support this time was higher than it was for a previous referendum in the 90s.
We certainly believe that we need to come back next year and try again, because this is not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. This is supposed to be a quality community, and we have to be able to be a good library to serve people the way they want to be served, and we just cannot continue to do it under these conditions.
Schmidt says Mahomet's 4,000-square-foot library building is too small and worn out. Tuesday's referendum would have more than doubled the library property tax to build and operate a new building a mile and a half away from the current one. The city of Champaign is honoring a man who allowed physically disabled people everywhere to have a new outlook on life. A portion of Stadium Drive is now called Tim Nugent Way. He founded the University of Illinois' Division of Rehabilitation Education Services in 1948. At that time, Nugent was often forced into moving class sections into accessible rooms, and without a transit system, he would coordinate a system to drive handicapped students to class. Nugent says his designs for building codes and laws soon became a precedent.
I knew what I wanted to accomplish. I think it would be inappropriate to say I had a vision. The vision evolved as I tackled one problem, and then another problem, and another problem. Then eventually I realized, hey, that this doesn't belong just on this campus, it belongs everywhere.
Nugent's also well known for his efforts to provide the handicapped with extracurricular activities. He founded the first National Wheelchair Basketball Tournament. For the latest newscast online, go to wyll.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. George Takei is better known as Mr. Sulu from the series Star Trek. He celebrates his 70th birthday today. Besides his acting career, Takei was and is politically active as a human rights activist and even ran for L.A. City Council back in the 70s. Takei grew up during the Second World War. At the time, the U.S. troops fought Germans and Japanese overseas, and at home, Japanese Americans like Takei were also treated as enemies. In 1942, when he was five, Takei and his family were taken to an internment camp. George Takei recently visited the University of Illinois campus, and AM 580's Michael Kaliska spoke with him.
I'll never be able to forget that day when American soldiers with bayoneted rifles came to our front door in Los Angeles and ordered us all out. Of course, my parents knew that we had to go, and we were packed, but it was scary, and we were taken to the swamps of Arkansas. You know, I remember the machine guns pointed at us when I made the night runs to the latrine, the searchlight that followed me. And it became normal for me to begin the school day with a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I mean, I could see the barbed wire fence and the sentry towers right outside my schoolhouse window as I recited the words, "With liberty and justice for all."
You became an actor at a time where Asian people or any other minorities were, like, you know, hardly to be seen on the screen or on television.
At that time, I really didn't think about it. That's what I enjoyed doing.
Did you ever encounter any problems at the time, you know, having the Japanese background?
My father prepared me for that. He said Asians don't have too many opportunities to make a living at it. And when they do, it's these rather unattractive stereotypes, the comic servant or the black villain. But I was enormously lucky. I was cast in my first big feature film while still a student, a drama student at UCLA. It was Ice Palace, and it was starring Richard Burton.
It sounds to me a little bit like there was kind of something like a split world. And at the time, I mean, minorities weren't really, like, you know, in best shape, at least in terms of what kind of rights they had. So did you feel that there was something like almost like a schizophrenic existence?
No, because that's part of the reality of the world we live in. I was at the same time actively involved in the civil rights movement. What makes America great is its diversity. And in the Screen Actors Guild, we advocate for the realistic depiction of the American scene. How can you have a series that takes place in a hospital in San Francisco without having Asian doctors or Asian patients?
In television, Star Trek was one of the first which kind of, you know, showed this diversity, but somewhere in a faraway future, though, and nothing really related to what was going on in the real world.
Well, it was a very optimistic view of the future, but Star Trek served as a change agent, because the reality of the 1960s, when we first came on the air, was, you know, that was the height of the civil rights movement. The entire world was gripped by the Cold War. And on Star Trek, we depicted a trusted member of the leadership crew who spoke with a Russian accent, proud of his Russian heritage, Chekhov. Sure, that was political fiction. It was social fiction to have Asians and African women and a Scotsman, you know, all working together in concert. It was fiction. But look what's happened in 40 years. Today, we have, in fact, a spacecraft, which we call the International Space Station. And most astounding of all, once mortal political enemies, Americans and Russians, working side by side right up there.
Roughly 2 years ago, October 2005 was the date where the world got to know George is gay. But how was it before? I mean, you've been gay, the public didn't know it. Was it difficult?
Well, you got to remember, I was a teenager in the 50s. Yes, my hormones were telling me what excited me when I was still a child. But, you know, you kind of try to suppress that because the other guys, you know, are finding Monica, you know, busty. Oh, look at that. With me, it was Bobby that was, you know, exciting. I knew that, but I dated girls, you know. I mean, I lived that life of the times. And then I wanted to build an acting career in the 60s. And I wanted to protect that career.
Last question, focus a little bit. What are you doing right now? You, like, you know, we've been talking about you doing Heroes, and maybe you can just, like, you know, talk a little bit about how exciting it is for you to do in science fiction again.
The extraordinary thing about Heroes is all my scenes are in Japanese with English subtitle, and this on primetime network television. Only art houses used to attract people that would support English subtitle movies, you know. So it's a commentary on diversity and globalization.
George Takei has found a new group of fans because of his latest role in the NBC series Heroes. He appears occasionally also on the Howard Stern radio show. George Takei spoke with AM 580's Michael Kaliska. Our meteorologist Ed Kieser says we're going to have a really nice weekend in front of us no matter where you are in the two states. It starts with today's forecast, sunshine, and highs ranging from around 60 in northern Indiana to 72 in far southern Illinois. Clear skies tonight, lows from 38 in northeast Indiana to 48 in west central Illinois. And for tomorrow, sunshine again, the highs from 70 in northern Indiana to 78 in west central Illinois. Champaign-Urbana's Sunday forecast, sunny and a high of 75. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, April 20th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.